I wanted to say to you what I have said to the those present. These are the kids from Barry who are going to Raleigh-Durham. It's on this message that I will take my stand, and you must take your stand for the church that's going to be born there. I have nothing in the world more important to give to you than what I give to you tonight. I don't have anything more important to give to anyone than I give this evening. And if this goes to any of the churches, and perhaps it will be in Bournemouth, then Bournemouth, listen, because this is the most important thing you will hear. But for all of us, it's not what we hear, it's what we do. It's who we are, and it is what we do. We're going to read passages of scripture here, seven of them. I'm going to quote the first one. Then you'll hear three more, and another voice, and three more. And these are scriptures for you to hold on to and never forget. The first one, I suppose, actually, when these words were uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ, he drove a standard into the ground there on the mountain and said, essentially, everything from this moment on depends on what I'm about to say to you. It's Matthew 5:3, and it's probably one of the most difficult lessons that any of us will ever learn. And the depths of it, we have a hard time plummeting. If I were doing a New Testament, I think I would do Matthew 5:3 and then skip 2 inches before I would come to Matthew 3:4 or 5 or 6. Listen to it very, very carefully. And by the way, the topic that I have for you tonight, for all of us, in fact, for the whole Christian family all over the world, and for Gene, for those who have been, but especially for those who will be, this message is on spending time with the Lord. And the two words that are most important is spending time. And the most important thing you can hear is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, excuse me. So I would quote it this way, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, the other realm belongs to them. It is not to those who are rich in spirit, well, doing well in spirit. It is those who are starving in spirit. Therefore, it is very, very difficult for a proud person to really deal with this passage. But the truth of the matter is, we all have a hard time dealing with this. And it is the witness of the ages, the greatest Christians, as far as those who know the Lord, not those who did great things, but those who know him, that they testify that there came a moment in their life when they saw themselves hopeless and helpless, not wretched, not sinful, but incapable, an utter, total failure in their adventure with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we either learn that lesson, or we embrace it, or we take it at face value and learn from it. But if we're going to spend time with the Lord, if we're going to do anything as a Christian, the first thing you have to learn is that you can't succeed at this. You can't on your own live with your husband. You cannot on your own live with your wife. You cannot on your own walk the next 50 years of your life as a believer. Somewhere along the line, you'll quit. You are a person who has almost no spirit and no spirituality about you whatsoever, and let that drive you, and let the knowledge of it overwhelm you that you are an incapable spiritual person. And try to look upon yourself as a needy, and if necessary, a shriveled up spirit inside you that is in desperate need of, and we're going to find out, in desperate need of what tonight. You are blessed if you're ill-equipped to be spiritual. You are a failure at being spiritual. Now, you either know that already, but I promise you, if you don't, you're going to learn it. And now I'm going to tell you something that I'm going to say again and again and again and again and again, and that is that you can't spend time with the Lord either. Now, aren't we doing great? We're at the beginning of an all-important message, and I just told you that you're going to also fail at spending time with the Lord. Embrace it, accept it, believe it, and you'll be so far down the road from other people. The Lord's people are dying from lack of practical spiritual things. And this is my first practical spiritual thing to tell you, and that is that you are needy in your spirit, and so am I. Spending time with the Lord is absolutely pivotal in your life. It's got to be. Spending time with the Lord, it's just like saying you have to breathe. You have to drink. You have to eat. You have to spend time with the Lord. You can't separate these two things. There are two things that everything hangs on, and that is, how do you do it when you do? And the second one is, how do you keep doing it? And the first is far more simple than the second, but both of them need a great deal of practice. Now, Raleigh Durham, listen to me. If you come to Raleigh Durham, you're going to spend time with the Lord. This is who we are. We're those who spend time with the Lord. And not only do we spend time with the Lord, but we're going to keep on spending time with the Lord, and everything that we will work together will be toward spending time with the Lord. I think you understand, do you not, that this is pivotal? So let me see if we can hear some passages of Scripture that will give us some enlightenment to this. And I'm going to hand, I don't know what you want to hand. Go ahead and say it. Let's hope it carries.
Okay. This is from Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me.
All right. The second one.
This is 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. And the Lord is spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's spirit. And Romans 8:29. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers.
Okay, thank you much. Go ahead.
All right, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Okay, I need to say transformation by the renewing of your mind. We have two terms that we are facing the word transformation. Okay, go ahead.
Philippians 1:19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and through the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to listen very carefully to the words, the provision of Jesus Christ. All right, did you hear that? The provision, that which is provided by Jesus Christ. Point one, and that is you got to believe you're needy as a Christian. And the second one is, if you don't believe that, you will try to live your Christian life on your own, and you won't do well. What is provided for you today as a Christian? And the answer is music and sermons and testimonies of great happenings. But what provision is given to you for spending time with the Lord? I think I can say to you honestly, I do not know of a church on this earth that emphasizes a congregation spending time with the Lord. And you realize that means that those people are poor in spirit and they don't know it. So let's get clear and recognize that we're poor in spirit and we will do something about it. Revelation 3:20 is very interesting. The word to sup or to dine. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This, by the way, happens to be one of those rare individual appeals. The Lord is speaking to a church that he doesn't like. He'd rather for it to be dead or alive, but not half dead and half alive. And he turns to the individuals and he says, I'm knocking on your door. Open it. And you know, that's one of those rare places where you get an insight into the Lord's commanding you on a spiritual level. If we go no further than this tonight, and that is to open your heart, you get over in a corner by yourself and ask yourself, how do you open your heart to the Lord? And I believe that you will instinctively make a really good stab at it. You will instinctively know what it means to open your heart to Him. And then what happens? He says something very interesting. He uses a word here. And that word, I'm going to cheat a little bit and I'm going to expand it. I've come in to have breakfast, lunch, and supper with you. It's a word that is so specific. It means a given time of the day when you always have your meal. That at a given time of the day, you sit down and you spend time, the Lord dining on you and you dining on Him. There's revelation here, and that is that it's crying out to us. There's a time and there's a place, and there's a time and another place, and another time and another place where you sit aside to eat. And the difference between your spirit and your stomach are incredibly similar. You know Edie, you know well. You know Keepy, no Edie, you die. You Edie, you livey. You know Edie, you know livey, you die. Your spirit will continue to live, but it will not be nourished on that which God has intended it. And what God has intended for your spirit to live on, and your spirit has food, and that food is Jesus Christ. We're here this far. So far, we have a need. And the second one is you spend time with the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you another one. I want to talk to you about it. We have three places where the word transform is used. And you could almost guess what that word is in Greek. It's metamorphosis. And the process is metamorphosis. And you all know what that is. And we're on Mount Hermon by tradition. And the Lord is there with three of his disciples. And he has gone there to spend time with the Father. I would like for you to mark those words, spend time. and a cloud descends. And always be alert when there's a cloud around. And anything a cloud does in the Old Testament or the New Testament, watch carefully. And it says that Jesus Christ was changed. But it's the same word that's used in Romans 12:2. He is changed from one thing to another. What is he changed from one to another? He is changed for three men to see into the earthly man to the heavenly man. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of the other realm. And Jesus Christ, right there in their eyes, changed from being the carpenter and the prophet of the local prophet, and he is changed into a heavenly, well, fact of the matter is he's changed into what he is. He is not cloaked in his appearing flesh, but he is changed into a heavenly creature. There is a process of transformation, a process of going from the lesser to the greater. Now, I want us to turn to the thought that we found in Philippians 1:19. I'm sure that these things will turn out to be to my favor by the supply, by the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all, this gets important. How can I speak to you, and how can you understand that your life as a believer from the time you got saved to right now is a life of provision? That which is provided for. Call it a reservoir. Call it provision. Call it supply. There is intended, it is the nature of the Christian life for you to be provided for by means of touching the Lord Jesus Christ, by spending time with him. And in being in his presence, you are changed from one glory to another. Try to imagine water, a great reservoir of water, and it flows. Where does it flow to? It may be to a city, it may be flowing to you. And its nourishment. It is the source of your provision. How can I impress upon you that Jesus Christ is your provision? But you don't have to take it if you don't want to. The provision is yours. There's no law that says you have to do this. There is no demand that you have to do this. But there's starvation if you don't. To be a church that is constantly being supplied and resupplied by the Lord Jesus Christ, by partaking of him, by spending time with him, by being in his presence, you are receiving the provision of Jesus Christ. He's a vast, vast, limitless amount of provision. Sometimes in your Christian life, those of you who are present and those who are listening, there is a day coming when you'll read something in the scripture and you'll say, I can't do that. Or you'll hear a message and you'll say, I just can't do this. I'm a failure. If you're expecting that of me, I can't do it. And some way your hands just go throw up and you give up. I don't know where that will be, but my money is bet on marriage. Maybe before that, maybe during it, maybe after, but that's my first candidate for you. This is just something I can't do. Or the Bible, the New Testament seems to make so many demands. Now listen to me very carefully. There is provision available to you. Out of the storehouses of Egypt, God's people were fed. Out of the provision of Christ's very nature, there is provision. Always provision. I'm going to say it again. The Christian life is a life of provision for you. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, provision is there. Can you understand this if I say to you, you don't have to say I can't do it. You don't have to say I'm a failure. You don't have to say this is more than I can handle. Be impressed, everyone. Please, the provision is there. It's a provision life. It's a life of that which is provided. The supply is present. Now, I've often said, and you, I'm sure, I don't know how long you've been in the Lord, so maybe this has never happened to you when you were really up against it, and then the Lord touched you, didn't give you a thing in the world you needed. Nothing. Not a bit. But he gave you something else. He supplied, he provided, and you walked away without need. Do you understand that? Has that ever happened to you in your whole life? It will. It happened to you last week. These are desperate moments. I mean, life and death, and you know you cannot go on any further. And God has got to come and do something, and he does. He supplies you with something that you weren't looking for and did not give you one thing you thought you needed. But thank you, sister. Last week, the provision was there. Now, let me edge a little further, and here's where we separate Christians from Christians. In some ways, I realize that some of you have never heard what you're about to. Your Christian life has already been lived for you. Your Christian life has already been lived for you. Well, Gene, not neither. Yes, it has. You have already come to the end of time. You're already there. I'm sorry?
How is that?
Well, see, you majored in Spanish instead of in science. Now, if you had majored in quantum physics, you'd understand that perfectly. And if you major in Jesus, then this gets really clear. To make it very simple, and I know some of you have heard this before, he did not say, I will someday be Omega. He said, I am Omega. Right here, right now, I am the end. And I am Alpha, and I'm not going to be an Alpha, and I'm not going, and I didn't used to be Alpha, I am Alpha. That's your Lord. Now, right now, you think that you've been caught in space and time. You haven't. You're just catching up with it every day. And he has already provided for you. Your life has already been lived out in him who is the Omega. He's already been there. I'm not going to say he's waiting for you to get there, because you are already there with him. It is very hard for you to understand that everything that's going to happen to you has already happened to you. And everything that happened to Jesus Christ, whether on earth or in other realms, it's already taken place. This is hard to explain because we don't understand that he's free of space and time. I don't want to wear out this illustration, but I'm going to use it anyway. One day, the Lord got really curious to see if you made it. So he went to the end, to the great gathering of the redeemed, and he saw you there. And he said, wow, she made it. Eileen made it. So he then went to the beginning after he saw you made it. And he put your name in the book of life because he visited the end and saw you there. He therefore put your name in the book of life and said, nobody can take it out because I saw you there and you made it. Now, that's a nice little story, but it's not big enough. The truth of the matter is he's standing there at the end and he's standing at the beginning at the same non-time. You don't have any complaints. You really don't, because this has already been lived out. If Jesus Christ has successfully lived the Christian life by the provision and supply of his Father, and we all are, because if the supply of the Father was great enough for Jesus Christ, the supply of Jesus Christ is great enough to see that you make it too. And you will live day after day after day after day until you die. And on the day you die, you will have to confess the supply of Christ was adequate for all things. Except for one thing, from his viewpoint and the place where he is and the place where you are, this has already happened. You will discover that his supply is adequate as you live your life. That life has already been lived in Christ. From the beginning to the end, you are there in him, supplied. So, what am I saying to you? Wake up in the morning and take the supply of Christ. We're going to get up in the mornings and we're going to drink from the reservoir. We're going to take from the provision. And we're going to be spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, the verse in Philippians 1:19 is very powerful. This word comes, well, let me put it this way. That word has given us many words, and one of the words that it gave us is a chorus. And a chorus, chrysagia, which is a person. And while the choir is practicing, some of the people get thirsty and water is brought to them, and they get hungry and food's brought to them. And they sit down and rest, and they get tired and they rest. And this person, this otherwise nameless person, is supplying the needs of this choir while they're practicing to sing. And he's constantly coming and giving you everything you need so that you can practice singing. And that's where this word of provision comes from originally, as a someone who is constantly coming to you with all you need. You have a provision life, a provided life. You have a life of all the things needed. You have a life of one who is supplying you. When you get to glory, look me up if I'm there and tell me that the reservoir wasn't adequate. You can't do that because it has already taken place in the eternals where the clock doesn't tick and the beginning doesn't exist and neither does the end. And the provision has already been given. It's yours to discover. We go to the words transformation. Let's think about 2 Corinthians 3:18. I've still got 3:19. 3:18. All right. Now, in Romans 8:29, we have the same passage that we're being made into the image of Jesus Christ. But here in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are changed by, and we are transformed by beholding. There is something about spending time in his presence that changes you. And that is a real change, and I want to put some limitations on it. It is not you studying the Bible. It is not you learning really good doctrines. This is not you asking God to hurry up Christmas so he can give you everything you need, or at least want. This is a face-to-face beholding of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is time spent in his presence. And you are changed. You are metamorphosized from one to the other. Something inferior to something that is greater. This is all I want to say to you tonight. There's a hook in the Christian life. There's almost none at all. Everything has been supplied you. But if you don't spend time with the Lord, you cheat yourself out of being changed. Now, I'm getting very, very close to telling you that you got to do something to be a good Christian. But I have just been saved by the Greek language. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm not real good at grammar. But when you remind me, I can tell you that there's an active voice, a passive voice, and I'm going to show you how smart I am. The active voice is the subject is doing the action. The passive voice is the subject is being acted upon. The word transformation in these passages that we have looked at, what do you figure? Active voice or passive voice? Think about it. Figure it out. Is the one who is the subject acting and taking action to be transformed? Or is the subject being acted upon to be transformed? Talk to me. Your college students, all of you with high IQs and real good grades, make a guess. I'm sorry? Acted upon, which would make it the passive voice. Is that good news? Is that wonderful news? Is that shouting territory? In every case, there are only 4 times in Scripture in the New Testament where the word transformed is used. Elaine, all of them are in the passive voice. Well, you're being transformed by processes that are totally and completely apart from you. The beholding is what you do. The transforming is what he does. Therefore, I would conclude that the smartest thing on this earth that I can do as Gene Edwards is spend some time beholding my Lord and let him act upon me and let him, by his work, by his grace, by his abundance, by his supply, by his provision, change me. Change me every day because God knows who, only God knows what tomorrow will bring. Now I ask you a question, and that is, do you know a church anywhere on earth where the one focal point of all that the people are doing is to spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ, beholding him? Do you know such people? We shall be continually transformed by having been acted upon by Christ out of the simple matter of beholding him. That's priority number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And do you remember my making a statement to you? And this is such a wise and profound statement. You will fail at spending time with the Lord. And I want this brother to hear this. My dear brother sitting over here on my right, Lee can't call his name, has such a high estimation of the human race. Oh, yes. Well, somebody told me that one day. That, yeah. Well, he's going to find out someday that he's going to find out that he's poor in spirit, and so is everybody else on earth. And you sisters are, and you brothers, all of us will discover this someday. And the older we are, ask us, were we as Christians rich in spirit? Did this thing turn out to be a snap? And it was all just pouring out of our own good abilities and graces and our will and our power and our strength. And my wife and I got married and we were just such good, sweet people that it just flowed out without any effort or graces or supplies from Christ. Then you don't understand the Father. All of the supply of the Father comes to Jesus Christ from the Father. And the Father got an idea in his head, and that is, you're helpless and hopeless without my Son, and he will supply all your needs through Christ Jesus the Lord. But here is the most overlooked of all this. Because the passages that we quoted you were from Philippians and Romans and Corinthians. Because those verses are irrelevant to you. You know this. You know it instinctively. Move away from God's people. Will you spend time with the Lord every day the rest of your life? I guarantee you, you will not, dear. And the day will come when you'll even forget he is your supply, that he is your provision. Running like this fellow who's giving them the water, the food, supplying them with their clothes, giving them everything they need while they sing. You'll forget this night and resist. You don't have very many places you can move to where God's people are going to drag one another to the presence of the Lord, and we're going to look into his face and be changed. And I said at the beginning before I started, this is the most important message I can bring anybody in the world as a believer. And I don't know who will ever hear this message, but this will be our foundation. We will be a people look at his face, and he, thank God, will do the transforming. That's more important than teaching Spanish. As a Christian, we didn't know we were selling ourselves into a situation where our very provision had to come from one source, the daily supply of Jesus Christ. He's already lived it out, sister. All you have to do is live it out with him. And in the end, we'll all stand up and say, as worthy as the Lamb, for he has supplied every day of our lives. Because we're going to get up in the morning and we're going to meet our Lord. We're going to look in his face. And I guarantee you, if I could guarantee you anything in the world other than this, that Jesus Christ saves, it will profoundly affect your life as you spend time with him.